Psalm 37. Let's go. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
If you'd rather be in the hospital, say amen. I don't know who said amen. We're going to pray for you. Oh. 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 Psalm 37. We're in God's house. Amen. Man, I have come just to praise Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, I spoke on, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it. You that are saved, you're going to make it to the other side. You're going to make it home. Now, I don't know what you're going to go through between here and home, but you're going to make it. And I want to tell you that this morning, you're going to make it to the other side because He's the one that orders your steps. He is the one that orders your steps this morning. I don't know all there is, and I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not no genius in this Bible. The only thing happened to me when I got saved, I got born again, I got a Bible and a burden to preach this book and win people to Jesus. And I thank God for that this morning. But I know there's been some steps that I've took in my life. If God hadn't orchestrated them, I would have not have took them. I would have not have went down that path. I would have not have went that way on my own because I would have rather went a different way. But you're going to make it to the other side because He orders your steps. Psalm 37, verse number 23. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Psalm 37 and verse number 23. And the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Give me an amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Nor his seed begging bread. Amen. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Amen. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, I thank you for this day that you've let us come in and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let me say nothing that I should not say. As Brother Eric and Sister Tanya taught this morning, our tongue is something we can't control without the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. And Father, I pray you control my tongue, control my thoughts, control what I say. Let it be all about you and nothing about me. The one that's sitting there that is lost, I pray you save them this morning. The one that is sitting there that is in a backslidden condition, I pray that they come to the altar and come back to you. Father, the one that's dealing with something this morning, I pray you help them real good. Father, I pray right now that you bless this service. Watch over us. You get all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning as we come into Psalm chapter number 37 and begin reading in verse number 23. We see that the Bible says that God, or the Lord God Almighty, He orders our steps. Can I say to you this morning that God, He orders our ways this morning. The Lord orders or established our steps as a child of God. We have a Father that looks out for us and He cares for us. God knows the path better than us and knows the snares that are along the way. And you say, preacher, are you sure that He orders our steps this morning? I say to you, yes, I'm sure of that. You say, preacher, I have fell a lot of times. I've not been the Christian that I ought to be. I don't live up to Christianity the way that I should. I stumble and I fall. I got good news for you this morning. God already knew you was going to fall. He already knew you was a failure. He already knew you couldn't make it. That's why He sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary. Amen. And this morning, I want you to know, number one, God orders our ways. And we see that, number one, because God knows the possibility of the fall that is in our life. He knows the possibility of the fall. Look with me in verse number 24. The Bible says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You say, preacher, does God know about the fall that is in my life? I say to you this morning, he knows all about your faults and your failures and your shortcomings this morning. And this morning, can I say to you, he knows when you're going to fall. He knows when you're going to slip. And he's right there with that big old right hand lifting you back up. He's not there to let you fall all the way down. He is that safety net that is in our life. He is that safety net that keeps us from falling all the way. This morning, can I say to you, number one, that God knows the possibility of the fall in verse number 24. Hey, can I say to you this morning, when you fall, it hurts. Hey, when anybody falls, it hurts in their life. A physical fall, you can break a heel, you can break an arm, you can break a leg, you can do all kind of damage. Hey, can I say to you this morning, a spiritual fall, it hurts just the same. You may not break nothing, but you sure do bruise up real easy. Can I say to you, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The hurts when we fall, it hurts like all kinds, like you've never seen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's in my life, I'd rather be hurt physical than spiritual, don't you? Hey, a spiritual fall and a spiritual hurt, it hurts so deep. It goes down into the soul and down into the spirit. It hurts when we fall. But can I say to you this morning, it hinders when we fall. Not only does it hurt us when we fall, but it hinders us when we fall. Here as we come, the psalmist said, though I fall, the Lord is right there with me. All through the Word of God, we know that King David, what happened to him in his life, there was times in his life that he failed. And he wasn't the man of God that God had called him to be. And it hurt him and it hindered him. It kept him from building the temple. It kept him from doing what he needed to do. Can I say to you that Moses, when he fell, hey, can I say to you that it hurt him and that it hindered him? It kept him from entering the promised land. He got to see it from afar, but he didn't get to go in. Friends, this morning, can I say to you that God knows the failure that's in your life, and he knows that you're going to fall. But this year, if you have failed already or you're living on the past failure, hey, get out of that. Amen. Hey, I want you to know this morning, we serve a God bigger than our falls. Amen. Hey, this morning, it hurts when we fall. It hinders when we fall. But there's a hand that holds us when we fall. Look what he says in verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That hand is big this morning. He scooped out the mountains. He scooped out the seas. He scooped out the oceans. If he can measure time with that old big hand, hey, he can take care of you and I this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse number 16, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I say to you this morning, God orders your steps even when he knows that there is a possibility of a fall. But let me give you something else. Not only is there a possibility of a fall, but there's a promise that God will not forsake you when you fall. Look what he says in verse 25. Here is the promise this morning. He says in verse number 25 of this text, I see that God's promises are not forsaken. I want to read this to you before we get into it. Do you remember this? You're not forsaken in the fall. Satan wants you to think when you fall and you mess up that you're forsaken. You listen to this preacher this morning. When you fall and you mess up, you're not forsaken. God is right there with you. Amen. Remember, you're not forsaken in the fall. Listen to this morning. I'm going to slow down. I want you to get this. Because in 2024, for you to be what God is wanting you to be, you got to remember there's going to be some falls along the way. Remember, you're not forsaken in the fall. The enemy wants you to feel forsaken so you will doubt, number one, your salvation. If there's anything Satan wants to do in a believer's life, he wants you to doubt your salvation that you've been born again. He wants you to think if you fall, you must be lost. If you slip up, you must be lost. If you're doing this and not doing that, you must be lost. You listen to your preacher this morning. I want you to know this on the authority of God's Word. If you're saved, he is going to keep you from completely falling. He says this, remember you're not forsaken in the fall. The enemy wants you to feel forsaken so you will doubt your salvation and the hand of your Savior. He wants you to doubt your salvation and the hand of your Savior. If he can get you to doubt your salvation, you won't share it. If a man or woman can get you to doubt your salvation, you won't share it. The only one that will share their salvation is the one that knows they're saved. Know they're washed in the blood of Jesus. Let me give you this. A person that feels forsaken, this is what will happen in their life. A man or woman that feels forsaken, you say, how do you know that? I have felt that way in my life before. Have you ever felt forsaken like nobody cares and nobody's around? Have you ever been to that place in your life and you say, I asked God to save me. I asked Him to come into my life. I repented of my sins. I believe that Jesus bled and died on an old rugged cross. I believe that He arose again on the third day and I asked Him to come into my life. Why do I still feel like I'm lost? Why do I still feel like I'm not born again? You know why? Because you got an adversary. And his name's Satan. Do you think he's ever going to brag on you, Brother Hagin, and say, you're saved, don't worry about it? He's not going to do that. But he will tell you you're lost. He will tell you that a saved person wouldn't do that. A saved person wouldn't do that. But this morning, can I say to you that he knows the possibility of the fall and he promises you that you are not forsaken. You say, what happens when a person falls? Number one, when a person falls, they get stuck in that fall if they're not careful. When they fall, they'll get stuck. They either got to get up and get out of that fall or they'll be stuck in that fall. This morning, I don't want you to be stuck in 2024 where you was in 2023. I see that there's a stickness in the fall that you can't get out of. He says, I have been young and now I'm old. You know, when you're young, it don't hurt to fall near as bad as it does when you get old. Can I get a witness? In your Christian life, church folk, can I talk to you for a minute? Your high-rolling Christian friends. Listen up here. Look up here just for a minute. Your high-rolling Christian friends that love you so... Well, I'm just going to preach somebody this morning, okay? Is that okay? Your high-rolling Christian friends that you think got it all together and all suited up and all pretty, when you first got born again and you slip up, they're there to forgive you. They'll show you grace like you ain't never seen when you slip up if you're just born again. But you take a man that's been born again 15, 20 years, and you let him slip up, they ready to cast him to the devil, ready to cast him out, ready to get rid of him, throw him away. He's of no count. He's of no good. You see, he said, I've seen it when it's young and I've seen it when it's old. Young folks in the ministry are going to fall and old folks will fall. Falls come. Look what he says. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This is what a lot of Christians ain't. And I thank God that he is the one. Amen. He is ever merciful. And he lendeth and his seed is blessed. I see that not only there's a possibility of the fall, but there's a promise that you're not forsaken. You might be stuck in the fall. You be careful in the fall. People you thought that had your back, the people you thought that was your friends, the people you thought that was Christians, when you fall, they judge instead of help. Uh-oh. They eat you up instead of having your back. See what I'm talking about? You can get stuck in the fall. You can get sour in the fall, but you can also, you listen to this, you can get suicidal in the fall. You don't stay in a fallen position. God orders your steps. He knew that fall was coming, but he said, you're not forsaken. I'm right here with you. You said, what do I do when everybody flees and everybody gets away? It don't matter about them. God's still right there with you. No matter how many times you fall, you get back up and you keep climbing, you keep digging, you keep getting out. Don't you just stay down. You get up. You get up. In 2024, if I can give you anything, get up. Don't you stay where you're at. Don't stay in that bottom. Don't stay in that pit. Don't stay down there. You're better than that. You've been saved for something bigger than that. God is greater to you. He's bigger for you. He's better for you. He loves you. He's bountiful. He pours it out on you. He don't want you to stay there in the fall, because if you stay there long enough, you'll be suicidal in the fall. Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, this morning I see in the text, I see number one that there is a possibility of the fall. I see number two, there's a promise that you will not be forsaken when you fall. I want to ask you something this morning. If you ever fell and you felt like you was all alone, what do you do first thing when you fall? What do? You look around? Help! Help! I'm talking to somebody here this morning. In your spiritual life, your heart, help! I'm entrapped! Help! Can you help me out of here? Help! and you've been there for a long time, and all you're needing is help. You're not needing an answer. You're just needing a hand. You're not needing an answer. You're just needing a hand. You're not needing an opinion. You're just needing a hand. You're not wanting advice. You're just needing a hand. But you know what so much in life people want to give you? They want to give you their opinion and their advice instead of their hand. That opinion, that advice don't cost them nothing. For them to stick their hand out, it's going to cost them something. Can I say to you, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he didn't go by opinion or advice. He went to help you and I out of the state that we was in. I see, number one, this morning, there's a possibility of a fall. 2024, there's a possibility that you might. I guarantee you this, you're not forsaken. I'm going to give you this right here. Because, the third point, if you're taking notes, you are preserved forever. Somebody should have just come unglued out there. Deserving hell, but going to get to go to heaven. Brother Kevin got in the ark, shut the door. Nobody could open it back up. It was shut. God shut it. When I got saved, he shut the door behind me, stuck me in. He stuck me in when I was filthy, sorry, no good. Just saved. All I was, just saved. Hadn't even straightened up yet. Amen. Hey, the church folk ain't even straightened up. And I still ain't straightened up some church folk. Amen. I told a preacher not too long ago, got to preach a revival at his church. I looked at him, I said, I thank you that you had courage to invite me to come preach. I don't know a whole lot, I just know I'm saved. I know I fall all the time, Brother Jim, I fall all the time. I don't always do what I need to do, I know I fall. But I know I'm not forsaken, because I'm preserved. You know what preserved is? It is, ain't it? Put in there, put the lid on it, screw it down. It's sealed. It's preserved for later on down the road. My soul and my spirit is preserved for on down the road. This body's going to lay down one day. When I'm in that casket up there, that'll be the last time you worship with this body. This body won't never worship again because I have a glorified body. I have a new body. Whew, let me show you this where he said he's preserved. If you got time, look what he says here, if you will, with me in verse number 28. Not only is there a possibility, not only is there a promise, but you're preserved this morning. Look what he says here in verse number 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. He said, preacher, how do you know you're preserved forever? I got three places I want you to turn with me this morning in closing. Jude chapter number 1, verse number 24. Jude chapter number 1, in verse number 24. God has preserved you forever. Number one, because he keeps you forever. I'm going to preach that to the day I die. I'm going to preach that to the day I die. I wasn't nothing when he found me. And I won't be nothing when I see him. Jude 1:24. Now unto him, read this with me, that is to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To him that is able to keep you from falling. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. I want to share this with you. Ephesians 1:13. Not only does he keep us forever, but he has sealed us forever. Sealed forever. You ever took a ketchup bottle? You got that ketchup bottle, it's new on the table. You go to squirt it out and it won't come out. You take the lid off and take your teeth and come on, y'all know y'all do that. You put them teeth on that thing and start pulling that off because your fingernails won't get it. You know what that is over that ketchup? It's a seal. You know what's on your life this morning, child of God? It's a seal. 2024, I want you to not doubt your salvation. I want you to embrace it and enjoy it. But preacher, don't worry about what you do. Worry about what he did. Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He orders your way because he sealed you. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 17. Not only does he keep you, Not only does he seal you, but there's going to come a day you're going to live forever. 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Not only does he keep us and seal us, we're going to live forever. I see the possibility of the fall. I see the promise we're not forsaken. And I see we're preserved forever. If anybody knew this, it was King David. If there's ever been a mess up, it was King David. You got murder, adultery, you name it, he done it. What'd God do with him? Throw him away? No. What'd he do with him with the fall? Now, he whooped him. And he had to take, hey, there's some things he didn't get to receive because of it. But God's love for him did not change. This morning, when a man or woman or boy or girl gets born again, you listen to me this morning, God has a place for you. I want to read this to you. Brethren, our steps are ordered by the Lord. We fall down, but we ain't forsaken because he has preserved us for his glory. He said, preacher, you don't know how many times I fell in my Christian life. You don't know how, it's a roller coaster. Up and down, up. Am I talking to anybody? It's up and down. One minute I'm reading my Bible and I'm 30 days in. I'm as strong as I've ever been. I'm praying. I feel the power of God. And then for the next 60, 70 days, I feel like I don't feel nothing. Like he's not even there. Your relationship with Christ ain't on feeling, it's on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's times me and my wife, we're married, right? Because there's a covenant there. I won't go no further there. No matter how many times you fall, you keep getting up. God's got something for you. I am very curious about stuff. And when I studied this message, I was thinking about a fall. And in my home, I had something sitting there, and I looked at it, and I said, I wonder why that's that. I wonder why that's that. Every man in this room has used it sometime in their life. You've used something that's a failure that you didn't know it. But you keep using it. If they had quit, you wouldn't have it in your hands some days. As I sat there and looked at it, and I kept looking, I got thinking, I said, why is that there? The man's name is Norman Lawson. It took him 40 tries to get something right. 40 tries. 40 times everybody said, it won't work, you're not right, it ain't going to do it. Other chemists, other engineers got away from him. They said, it ain't going to work. And he kept trying. He kept trying. He kept trying. Trying to make it work. And finally, on his 40th attempt, now the company is worth over $3 billion. A company nobody would buy into because the man kept falling and coming short. There's some people not going to buy into your life, Brother Garrett, no matter what you do. There's some people who ain't going to befriend you and walk with you no matter what you do, son. And a lot of that's because you're walking with Jesus. But this company became a $3 billion company. And what he made is a water displacement chemical that took him 40 tries to get it right. He didn't give up, and neither should you and I. And now we know it as WD-40. A little old can you can buy at Dollar General that has a holy of no value. $2 you can buy it. $2.50, $4 you can buy a big old can. Water displacement chemical. He wanted something to take moisture out. He wanted something that would work. Every time he went to try to get it, there was a fall. Every time he tried, there was a fall. Everybody around him, Brother J.D., would mock at him and laugh at him because he kept falling. But on his 40th attempt, he got it right. And they said, what are you going to name it? And he said, there's nothing else to name it. It's a water displacement chemical And it took me 40 times to get it right. He said, let's just call it WD-40. I don't know when your life comes to the end what they're going to call you. But you better just make sure that he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know what a faithful servant does? A faithful servant falls. Because he's servant to the king. The king ain't going to fall. This morning, I don't know who I'm talking about in this new year, but listen, you say, preacher, I'm about ready to quit. You don't know how many times I've tried this Christianity. You don't know how many times I've tried. You don't know how many times. Can I say to you, you're not out of tries. Just keep on. Just keep on. You say, preacher, I ain't talking, man, I see faces ain't here no more. You won't find them in a house of God no more. You won't find them in a service no more. They're no more doing what we're doing. They're no more serving the king. Something else has took place, and they're out yonder, over yonder, doing what they want to do. Instead of serving the master, serving the king. Going to church don't matter. Yes, it does. If it wasn't for her, you wouldn't never know about him. He died for her, the church. If you're saved, you're the church. And one day he's coming back for who? There's no time to give up in 2024. I believe this is Union Chapel's year in 2024. I believe there's so much God can do in this place if you won't quit and you say, God has ordered my steps. They may be falls along the way, but I'm going to fall when I go because I got a hand under me. I got a hand under me, JD. I'm going to take it anyway. I'm going to go anyway. He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us be out here begging bread and seeking things out of this world. He's going to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. This morning, whoever I'm talking to, you say, preacher, you don't know how close it is right now. I'm just ready just to... Can I say this to you? There's a possibility you may fall, but you're not forsaken because you're preserved. This year, if I can give you anything, just love him. Just love him and keep on keeping on. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for that you never gave up on us. You've never quit. You've never stopped. You've never laid back. You've never sat down. You've never thrown up your hands. You've never wringed them. Lord God, you know exactly what's going on in this place. To that mama I'm talking to right now that is about at her wit's end, Father. Lord, she's about at that place in her life. She's just about ready to throw the towel in for that wife that's about ready to throw the towel in. For that daddy, for that husband that's not being who he needs to be, about ready to throw the towel in. Lord, I pray this morning that we don't quit, but we keep on trying. Hey, I know falls come and they hurt and they hinder us, but Lord, there's a hand under us that'll help us all the way through. And Lord, I pray right now for that kid that's in this room. Lord God, that they're in a battle and they don't know how to get out of it. Lord, I pray you touch them real good this morning. Lord, I pray right now as this time of invitation, first Sunday of the new year, that we'd start it off the way you'd have it to be. And that's that we're going to dig deeper and we're not going to quit. You've promised us this year, you gave us this year to prosper this church, that we may help the community. And Lord, we're going to take hold of that and we're going to do what you've called us to do. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say. I ask